Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Dev. Perceptions.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 8 recap for Survivor 43. And as you could all see, Alexa was trying to remember the really big word from the Zeke episode. And now I can't remember it either. What was it?
No, his was metamorphosis.
But
that was the Carl and Davey perception perspective preposterous.
That's what it was.
That was a brutal spelling. I don't care how much rice you guys haven't eaten. That was disrespectful.
Well, anyway, here we are, episode 8 recap. Janine has gone home. So to that one person who sent us nothing but hatred all year, your fave is gone. No more trolling me, damn it. Wait,
so we have a fan who hates Janine.
No, loves Janine and hates us for putting Janine at 18 in our boot list game.
I do feel bad about that, but also, like, welcome to preseason. We base it off of nothing. So,
and I got
to
say, I got 7 points from Janine. That's not the worst I'm going to do. So, like, I didn't do that bad putting Janine at 18. But she is the first member of the jury, unlike poor Dwight. So Janine will remain for the rest of the game. But for everybody out there who thought that Dwight went home with an idol and you had that for your prop bet, congratulations. For the first time in Survivor Specialist history, we are taking away points from you because Dwight did not go home. Jesse has his idol. And I have to say, Alexa, we were talking about it. I don't think anybody should get hate. Okay, I'm going to say that first. But hate is the wrong word, but we all know talking trash is different than hate. For all the hate that Mike Gabler got for voting out Ellie, Jesse just voted out somebody who gave him an idol. Clearly, Dwight really liked Jesse. I do not understand this move. I think this was even worse now.
I don't think I have any form of comparison for Gabler to Ellie. I think you're pushing that a bit, but
not pushing it at all.
I mean, that's Dwight just trying. Well, I don't think the two have anything in common there.
We talked about this on the preview show and you agreed with me. Anyway, continue.
Okay, well, you know, how about you let me talk it out and maybe explain it to me instead of just talking down. But I think that's a testament to Jesse. It sounds like Dwight had no idea, and I don't really know where Dwight and Jesse left each other on being divorced or dating or married. It sounds like Dwight thought they were married and maybe Jesse had some side hustles. He had 6 other side hustles in this new group of 7 he's in. So
Jesse is not a loyal boyfriend.
Dwight, yeah, or husband. Sorry to Jesse's wife if you're listening. Yeah. I think Dwight deserves some post-game major credit because he lied in all of his exit interviews, which is also, I feel like, completely unheard of in the sense of this, like, being for the active storyline. I thought that was really cool. I feel like Dalton Ross and like Bloom and all these others were just like, oh my God, he straight up lied to us, and in like videos too. So I thought that was really cool. Super unique. Love that for Jesse. And hate that for Janine, because she went home with her idol being, I don't know, 5 feet from her the whole time. So good for her.
Well,
good for him.
And it's funny because Janine was still in the game thinking that she had no chance to get her idol back, not realizing, like you said, it's right there. But I also kind of respect the fact that Jeff also continued the lie, because production could have easily just said, hey, when we go and do this, you know, when you go and do the press about this, or wait until after the next episode. But Jeff was all on board with it too. He was the one who was talking to Dalton Ross about it and doing everything like that. So that was pretty great. Good for Dwight. But let's break this down for Jesse quickly, because I think the what gets me with Jesse here is now he gets rid of the only person who knew he had that idol, and he keeps the idol. And this has worked out brilliantly for him. However, he doesn't know the relationship that everybody has with everybody. And it was a serious possibility that Dwight could have said to somebody, even Janine, hey, I just want to let you know I gave your idol to Jesse because I'm concerned about this. Because telling Janine, Janine's not going to run around and tell somebody else. That's going to be a secret between the three of them. Now, that didn't happen, so that works in Jesse's favor. But what I'm more confused and concerned about in this whole situation is, if Dwight was comfortable enough to give Jesse this idol for protection, I feel like Jesse 100% voted out somebody who wanted to move forward with him in this game, when there were clearly people out there who do not want to move forward with him in this game. And what I was getting at earlier is just that we had talked about briefly in the predictions episode how Cody and Jesse really went kind of like just disregarded that they were like, hey, goodbye, Dwight. You were on our original tribe. We're going to get rid of you. And we never saw a falling out between the two of them. And now when I saw that idol handed to Jesse, I said, there was no falling out. So why did they land on Dwight? And was this actually a smart move? It looks good for Jesse, but was it dumb luck or was it actually a good move?
Yeah, because it's, I think this is also like an extra knock on Dwight, because it's, sure, it's your idol, but you did just give someone else's idol to someone else, and he didn't tell Janine. So that's, I mean, it doesn't matter because they're both gone now, but yeah, that's a good point about Jesse, because he just voted out somebody, and it could be one of those things where maybe his mind changed once he got that idol. He was like, I have this. I don't really care if you want to work with me or not, because clearly this group of seven still ended up voting together. Clearly there's something still there. It seems like one of those situations where Dwight just didn't have enough clout, for lack of a better term, when there's all these other people that Jesse can work with. And it seems to be working out for him right now. Nobody knows that he has either idol, which is crazy. I assume Cody is going to ask him to give it back, but also maybe not, because Cody and Jesse are super tight. But I have to imagine that if Cody asks for it, Jesse has to say yes.
He will.
That's your closest number one. You have to do that.
Well, and I think with Cody, he'll ask for the idol back and Jesse will give it to him. And we're almost going to get a Parvati Sandra Russell scenario at the final 10 of Heroes Villains. That's what we're looking at right here, where one idol is going to be known about, but it's going to be, wait, where'd that second one come from? Because I would almost guarantee you that when Cody is forced to play his, Jesse's going to be in a bit of a precarious position as well. And even if he doesn't have to play it that week, it's going to come up the next week. And that might make him not super trustworthy if, after Cody has to play his idol, Cody survives, and then Jesse goes to him the next day and says, by the way, just so you know, I still have an idol. We're good. Well, how long have you had that idol? Oh, it was Janine's when she got voted out. Why have you not told me this? It's a very tricky situation now if it ever comes up. He might never have to bring it up. But Jesse's the most powerful player in the game right now, if you look at it from an advantage standpoint. Good for him. This seven, though, clearly going to fall apart in some way, shape, or form over the course of the next couple weeks. I mean, granted, there's only seven versus three. We're getting a split tribal next week. But they wanted to fall apart this week. I wasn't shocked at how the vote went.
But I was about to ask, did you see that coming or did you not?
I wasn't shocked how it went in terms of that Janine went home. I was shocked that it was 10 to or 9 to 2. That's what surprised me. I was surprised how quickly people turned on her. And I guess going back to Dwight and Jesse and Cody, I feel like Dwight would have worked with them. I feel like Janine went home tonight because people were working with her more out of necessity than actually wanting to move forward with her in the game. And that's why Owen and Sammy and Noel and Gabler were all willing to write her name down tonight because, yeah, she was with them, but they didn't actually want to play the game with Janine. And I think Janine just went too close to Ellie and had, like I had said when Ellie went home, this is better for her game. Really, it wasn't because she had just been ostracized from the tribe for being as close to Ellie as she was. And she was never able to rebound from that. And then losing her idol the next week just obviously didn't help that.
Yeah, I think just the groups were forming too fast without her. And I was bummed that she went home. And I was thinking about it in the like 5 minutes in between jumping on here and the episode ending. I think I viewed her like she's an underdog. So naturally, you're going to want an underdog to win. And it felt like there was more fight there than what Ryan was doing. So I think that's why I wanted that. But at the same time, there has been so many flips and moves and no actual alliances for the past like 3 years. So as much as I'm annoyed that the seven ended up sticking together, I do kind of appreciate it because that probably was the right thing to do. It was kind of blowing my mind that all day people were talking about how much of a threat Ryan was. I don't know if they were convincing themselves of that or if they were trying to just talk themselves into something, but I was like, what am I missing here?
I think they see him as a physical threat. I don't think they see him as a threat to win the game. I also think what worries them with Ryan is that he's just such a flake, and I think that's coming through. What I do like is that this season is showing a lot of the camp life, which I know we're both really big fans of, and seeing the camp life today with Gabler and Ryan fishing, I thought was hilarious. Like, I really did. Gabler did nothing. Ryan caught 21 fish. Nobody gave a shit. Like, I thought that was so funny because it does just tell you where the game's at. Carla has that biting confessional of get up here and strategize, buddy, like, or something like that. And it's just so funny because it's like, yes, like that is where their heads are at. They don't care if you're feeding them. They just want to play the game. And so when Ryan was the one at the tribal council who signed his contract with the game or whatever it was and said that we're playing where we can take our time and we don't have to do this and we have to do that, it was so telling that it was him saying that because everybody else will agree with him to just keep him appeased. I feel really bad for Ryan. I feel like Ryan is a really good guy who has the best intentions and is getting one of the worst Dodo edits we have seen in a long time. And I feel really bad for him because I feel like his heart is 100% in the right place.
Yeah. The thing that's sad is that he doesn't like know and he doesn't seem to know why. Like his voting confessional when he was voting out Janine was like, I hope you can become the leader that I know you are. Like who says that when they're voting someone out? That's so specific and kind. So I part don't feel bad for him because like if you've watched any Survivor recently, you should know what to do. But I also really appreciate that he's there. And this is like maybe a bad opinion, but I do wish there were more of him. And this goes back into the I wish there were more non-fans because he is sticking out so much for doing like objectively the right thing.
Yeah, and I think that right now, the three people to me who are standing out on this cast as different than what we've been used to seeing are Ryan, Gabler, and James, actually. I feel like James is a really unique casting choice because he doesn't come across as alpha as he is. Like, he is a silent assassin who demands to be in control, but doesn't present himself as an alpha, like, just like a Jonathan Young, you know? Yeah. And I think that it's just so interesting to see that character playing Survivor right now, because I do believe that James might have the best strategic mind we've seen in the last three seasons on Survivor. That doesn't mean he's going to do very well. He might go home next week and he's overplaying for sure. But I feel like he's thinking all the time. And I feel like we're watching a very calculated, almost Brian Hydick type game from him right now, where it's, if you get out of line with me, I have no time for you anymore. And we saw that with him and Cassidy on the beach, where it was, no, 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 you don't make sense. And they just, like, it was just, they were just butting heads so hard. James is a really interesting casting choice. And I don't know how you find more Jameses, because he is just so different from what we're used to seeing.
Yeah, he has that kind of silent confidence as opposed to the, like, more in your face. The spat between him and Cassidy, I actually, maybe this is because I was preferring Cassidy to him in this conversation, but where, like, I feel like she got him, where he was like, well, actually, Janine is a threat, which to me felt like, well, did you hear what you just said? Like, probably not. But I think, yeah, I like that he's silent. And he also, I feel like Tony started this, and I don't even know if this is intentional or not, but he's like, he's very casual and he's like laying down and he's, it's like working, because I don't, he doesn't, he's not running around like Sammy, like, okay, I'm going to go check and fail. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. He's like, I don't know, taboo, let's just do this. We're going to get rid of Janine, and that's that. And doesn't really care that he's disrespecting Owen. And I kind of like that.
There you go.
2.0 from David versus Goliath, but actually doing what people said that Carl was doing.
Exactly. He is. You come to me, and I think it's going to bite him. I don't think he's going to come out on top in this game. But I, like, I don't think any of those three that I named are going to win. But they are so interesting, because there's been a lot of Carlas on the show. Carla's the best version that we've seen probably since the show came back from COVID. But there's been so many Carlas, and the Cassidy underdog story. She might not be as neurotic as Gabby, but she is still that type of character. We really haven't seen what James is bringing in a long time. And I don't even know what to call what he's bringing. Like, he's so weird of a casting choice that I almost wonder, what did production see in him? What did casting see in him where they said he's going to be our blank? What box did they put him in? Because I don't know what box he belongs in based on how he's playing the game, but he's playing it very interestingly. And I think it's really working for this show. I also think he's going to be one of the first ones from the seven to go home, because I do think that Carla and Cassidy and Noelle might have a little bit more incentive now to do a women's thing and try to pull in an Owen and try to pull in a Sammy, because the women are getting depleted now. I don't think, and Cassidy said it on this episode, for anybody who thinks that they're voting him out because they're women, she even said on this episode, nobody's doing it intentionally, but it's happening. Yeah. I do think that now that might come to the forefront a little bit more, kind of like the Drea Marianne thing, where that wasn't their intention going into tribal, but they saw it and they said, I'm not going to allow this to happen. I feel like we might see them try to do something. James might be against it. And that's when James just gets kicked to the curb and he's gone.
Yeah. And I think, like, Noelle has that extra vote. I don't know. It's tough when somebody who doesn't have agency has an advantage, because we see her say it to Carla for like a half a second. But maybe Carla's trying to switch. And like you said, Owen is just looking for anything at this point. So Owen would be down. And Sammy, like, I'm really curious to hear, like, what you think and what's going on with Sammy, because he had a great episode, but then ends up not doing what he spent all episode trying to do. And it was probably him being really smart. Mm-hmm. But I was just kind of interested, because originally he was like, oh, we just need one person to flip, and then tells pretty much the entire alliance except for Ryan to get rid of Ryan for maybe the purpose of making this unanimous either way, which felt unnecessary. I don't really know whose idea that was, but it felt weird that Sammy had this big, big episode and then it just ended up being Janine going home.
I think Sammy made the right move. The problem was when Sammy went to Carla. So this is where Carla's game is clearly the best out of all of them. Jesse's is also probably excellent, because he got somebody he was about to vote off to give him an idol. But Carla is so good right now, because Sammy, at least from what we're seeing, Sammy went to Carla first to ask her, would you be interested in voting out Ryan? And that was the first person he went to. So he feels the most comfortable with Carla. Now, we already know Jesse feels the most comfortable with Carla. We know Cassidy feels the most comfortable with Carla. We know Ryan feels comfortable with Carla. And we know James feels the most comfortable with Carla. That's unbelievable.
Carla is, not to interrupt your stream of thought, Carla is the only person who people ranked number one in our power rankings game this week. Not a single person at any other than Carla. I don't know.
I love that. That's amazing. But so with all that being said, I think for Sammy, if he was going to make this move, he makes this move and votes out Ryan and doesn't have the support of the seven. Noelle could make this move happen with her steal of vote. It's 6-5 and that's it. It's over and Ryan goes home. Okay, that's fine. Now Sammy goes back and five people still left in the game are pissed at him. And he's the biggest guy left in the game. Now, Cody's been killing it in challenges. I think it was a smart move for Sammy to sit out of this challenge because it doesn't allow him to show off how good he's going to be at the individual challenges where Cody is building up this target, finishing always the bridesmaid, never the bride, but still he's in it every time. Sammy couldn't make that move tonight and it's not worth it for him. Again, this goes back to when Gabler threw Ellie's name out there, right? It felt like Janine was like, what is going on? And Sammy's like, what's going on? And Owen's like, what's going on? Sammy and Owen were clearly moving more towards going with Gabler than going with the girls, I think, based on this. Janine wasn't worth risking his place in the game to make the move, even if it was a better move and all that. And Carla even said, getting rid of Ryan right now would be a big move. But Janine wasn't worth that big move. And I know that sounds bad, but how is she going to help their game? That's really what it came down to.
Exactly. And she, yeah, it sounds bad, but sometimes there's somebody who's there and it's sort of like the Romeo aspect a little bit. Like, yeah, it'd be like switching things up, but how much further do you get? Yeah, it's a real bummer for Janine. It was, you did wonder at the beginning of the episode, like how much longer will she be able to play like this, like consistently getting beaten down. I'm excited to see if her chin has improved.
I would hope that after months and months now that her chin and an American doctors have healed her chin. But
where do you stand on, let's go to Owen for a little bit because he had a pretty big episode, ends up voting out Janine. So ends up being on the right side of the votes, right?
Finally. Yeah. He said he just wanted to be on the bus tonight and he was.
Yeah. It was Cassidy who was not on the bus.
Yeah. And we'll talk about her. Yeah.
So how'd you feel? Let's go to Owen and James. So James, I think, is playing a good game, but also you're not playing a good game if you're just like, hey, dude, you're safe when this guy's voted in. Like, that's just like lazy. That's like just not good.
I hated that moment. You know what it reminded me? It reminded me of
James, that you're so good.
It reminded me of Varner talking intertribe at that one in Second Chances when he was talking intertribe. And I think it was Wigglesworth who caught him and was like, what are you doing? Or Tasha, one of them caught him and was like, what are you doing? And it to me, this was so bad because it was so clear. Owen hasn't once voted correctly since you guys have all come together. And now you're singling him out. Like, hey, buddy, get on over here. Like Owen said, that was patronizing, and it was patronizing. Like, even if James didn't mean it that way, it was lazy gameplay. It was lazy strategizing. Like, you want to dance with the girl? You still, like, maybe say, oh, what about you? You ask the person who you know is going to say no first to kind of, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's what was he thinking saying just Owen? Like, ask Gabler to sit. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there were – but four people on the outs. And I also, like, this goes into the larger conversation of I'm glad that there's a group of seven because that never happens. And I think we ended up losing the person who I would have preferred to stay, we're getting that cockiness again. That's so fun. The only people that sat out were the majority alliance. Mm-hmm. And they're like under their breath. They're so mad that Owen's about to beat Cody. It was fun. I loved it.
And it was funny that it was Sammy and James who led that charge. And Sammy was thinking about flipping and everybody just kind of listened to him. Now, one thing, and I had texted you about this, Noelle was about to step off and then Cassidy stepped off. Noelle, if you watch
I missed that.
She's about to say like F it or something like that. And she's about to step and then Cassidy steps and you see Cassidy turn and look at her and Noelle just takes a step back real quick. It's very interesting. So Noelle was definitely about to, and then Cassidy just did it instead. Cassidy, not surprised she stepped off. She wasn't going to win this challenge, and she's not anybody's number one target. Sammy, I think it's showing how good his social game still is. James, he's just playing cocky right now, which, you know, fun to watch. Like you said, it's so enjoyable. Carla using her busted finger as an excuse. That's good gameplay. And then who was the fifth one who sat?
Jesse.
Yep.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not? You have two idols. What are you going to waste your time for?
Good for him.
But then we have these six people compete, and it gets down to Cody and Owen, and they're all like, I like that they were showing the clips of when Gabler dropped. They were all smiling, which was also kind of hinting, especially after the episode we had seen, that Owen definitely was going to win immunity because it was like, okay, they're not going to get their first choice, so they're happy Gabler went home, which was interesting that his name then being came up. But Owen wins the immunity. We heard him last week. That was his thing when Jeff said, what are you thinking about? While, you know, Gabler was listing off every human being he's ever met in his life, Owen just said, I've wanted to wear this since I was a kid. So he got that big moment. We saw finally Owen's backstory about being adopted, having white parents, feeling like an outcast, all of that. So this was a great episode for Owen. Really great episode.
Yeah.
I don't know how the vote will impact his game moving forward. I don't think it puts him in a worse spot than anything than he would have been, even if it wasn't Janine. But Owen is really good at blending in. And I think that that is what his story was tonight, is that he almost felt like he had to lose his identity as he was growing up because he was adopted and because he wasn't, you know, growing up with his birth parents in his birth country and all that. And I think that's what his storyline was. And I think that's his storyline going forward, is this guy is going to blend in until, is it going to be too late? And then they realize and they say, well, we can't get rid of him. And that's his big moment. This was a huge episode for somebody who I was thinking was a contender anyway before this.
Yeah. His backstory, like you said, really tied to the situation that he was in, which was appreciated. Yeah. And I think for both Owen and Gabler, they both, luckily they got in, they got the right votes, which, like you said, I don't know if it helps because she was going home no matter what, but to an extent it does, because if they ended up voting with Janine for Ryan, then they're even more ostracized. So I don't know if this propelled them forward, but it kind of kept them where they were, which for now really, really works, because Gabler and Owen can hang out and watch the seven just eat each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that Noelle and Gabler, especially Gabler and Owen, maybe Noelle, but I feel like Gabler and Owen have more game left. What would be interesting next week is if when they split this, because they're going to do the 5-5, that's definitely where this is going.
Yeah.
If they split this and somehow it does end up where Noelle and Gabler and Owen are all on one tribe and they get to vote somebody out, that could happen. Now, we don't know. We'll see what ends up going down. But I think it was helpful to be on the right side of this vote. Janine was an easy boot. Janine was the Elizabeth from David versus Goliath. She was just an easy boot to set up the chaos. The chaos will come, but why throw a stray vote? And we'll talk about Cassie in a second, but why throw a stray vote just to throw a stray vote? Owen needed to have some agency in this game. Now he can at least feel confident that he voted right once, and at least that's good. And maybe this will work for him to get in with some people, because he was willing to get rid of Ibaka. And and now what? Is it Coco who has the most people? Coco has the most people left.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I guess five of them?
Four. Four of them. Four.
Yeah.
And the ghost of Lindsay.
Yeah. May she rest. Yeah. I think what's really interesting about Owen, Gabler, and Noelle is, like, Owen and Gabler, at least they have history, but the three of them don't seem like they particularly like care to be working together. I don't think they don't want to work together, but it's not like there's a majority alliance and a minority alliance. It's just, they weren't invited. And that's kind of, I think, making it even harder for them, because they don't like have as much drive to work together and like know who exactly to pick out. They need to hope for Sammy's and Cassidy's to come to them and say, well, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's a very interesting dynamic.
I agree. And it brought a tear to my eye when Owen mentioned Colby, Wigglesworth, and Terry D, to, you know, obviously Alexa. If Alexa says Terry Deeds three times in a mirror, I appear. You know what I mean? Like, it's from that. I love Terry so much. And when he mentioned that, though, it was interesting, because think about what this is the type of fan Owen is, right? Like, Owen loves Survivor. He loves everything about the game. He loves the old school. He's name dropping players that people who only watch a couple seasons to go out on the show aren't name dropping. But if Terry Dietz is in his mind, right? Mm-hmm. Terry's whole strategy was just get me one more vote. I don't care. And it worked pretty damn well for him. And I think that's where Owen has to be at right now. You can be on the wrong side of the numbers and still go very deep in this game. You don't need to ruffle feathers to win Survivor. You can win Survivor by just playing the game that makes sense, especially in this type of season. He's not going to need a massive move to sit at the end and explain why he deserves to beat James, who made more moves than he did. He knows enough about the game that he can explain to them why he did everything he did. And I think, like I said, just mentioning Terry, it felt like something that was scripted where it's, hey, what character would you name at Final 11 who is in a pretty bad spot and going up against a really huge alliance? Terry would probably be one of the first ones you mention.
Yeah, definitely. I know. And I think we're so past like, ooh, Owen loves Survivor. Like, let's get him out. I think every single person was like, oh yeah, I probably would have said the same thing if they won an individual immunity.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll keep going.
No, I was done. Go ahead.
I don't know. I think I was going to say, oh, well, Owen, one thing I do remember from preseason, which as we talked about earlier is, you know, kind of means nothing because there's only so much to study. I do remember Owen said he was kind of excited to blend in because he never wanted people to assume that he would be this gigantic, like Jonathan Young kind of player. But so I think people are just always going to assume that he's not that strong. And I think even with him winning this individual immunity, like, Gabler won one, he won one. People are still going to look at Cody, you know? People are still going to look at Ryan, no matter how many times Gabler or Owen wins. So I think that really benefits both of them.
I totally agree. And we were talking about blending in. So let's talk about Cassidy and what she did here. So Cassidy is the closest thing we've had to Courtney Yates on the show in a long time. She doesn't have the mean-spirited wit that Courtney made us all fall in love with.
You could only hope.
But I know. Where is the next Courtney Yates, please? But Cassidy, to me, tonight, her vote was the Jean Robert vote from China. Mm-hmm. Not when Jean Robert went home, but when Courtney pretty much lost her mind at her alliance saying, you guys don't care about me because you won't vote out the person who I am disgusted by. Mm-hmm. And not that Cassidy has that same feeling for Ryan, but she wants her revenge and they won't give her that. Now, we heard Jesse say last week that he wanted to give agency to Cody, but not too much, but give him agency so he felt like he was doing something. Cassidy's alliance isn't doing that for her right now, and that's a problem. But what I loved about Cassidy is, and it reminded me again of Courtney, because Courtney used to do this. She was such a shit talker to Jeff at Tribal Councils. And Cassidy did that tonight where when Jeff started bouncing around talking about everything, not that he really called her on it, but she was like, just because I'm trying to blend in or play a lower key game doesn't mean I'm not playing really, really hard. And she is playing really, really hard. I don't look into the fact that she was the only one who didn't vote right tonight. I don't think that matters. I think that's her sending a message to her alliance of, if you all don't start giving me a little bit here, I will turn on you and vote you out of the game. So stop.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think they're taking her seriously, but I don't think they are, because there really isn't much of a reason to keep Ryan, because even if they got rid of him, they would still have the numbers. Mm-hmm. So I think Cassidy's just sort of being, they're trying to muzzle her, and that's eventually going to backfire, especially considering that their alliance almost fell apart already. So I think next week Cassidy's going to be frustrated. And maybe she'll end up pulling Carla over, but we're being set up for this. James is the godfather. James is the reason for all of my problems. So he's going to, I feel like, take the fall for this. Or he's going to get the blame for this, whether it's warranted or not.
I feel like he's going to take the blame for this. I feel like that's where I think this female / outcast alliance is going to take form. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're going to start to see James and Ryan go down. But then when they try to get to Jesse and Cody, they're not going to be able to get them because they have too many weapons at their disposal. So that's going to hurt that alliance. And there's still so much game left to be played. And we don't know what the breakouts are going to be for next week, because that will make the biggest difference too. Once we find out the 5-5 breakout, then we'll be able to kind of see, okay, what's the path forward? But if Cassidy gets a chance where, if let's say, because we saw this with Tommy, right, back in Island of the Idols, where he got no credit for this move, but it was a phenomenal move. No idol, nothing, goes to tribal council with four women and survives it. Like, and he survived it with nothing. He would just got to the right side of the votes, and that was their chance to get rid of him. Cassidy could end up with Noelle and Carla and say, I don't care what man is sitting there, I want to vote him out. And if it's between Ryan and James, maybe we do vote out James. He's got knowledge as power. That can be scary. Why don't we just get rid of him now? And I think that could happen. Now, will it break out that way? The odds are probably not. But just something to think about moving forward from what we're seeing. Cassidy feels like the underdog who kind of wants what's right for her, and mm-hmm. she's just not getting it, and it's starting to piss her off.
Yeah. The way that this – the timing of this double tribal council is going to be really exciting, because the seven is, I don't want to say fractured, because apart from Cassidy, it doesn't seem like there's many feelings mm-hmm. that it's getting like broken up, but I still feel like one of the three people on the bottom would probably still go home, just because maybe there is some kind of majority. But I think if like Cassidy and Carla end up together, or even like Cassidy, Owen and Gabler, then I can definitely see James being in a ton of trouble mm-hmm. next week. I feel like Cassidy could be in trouble.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll go back to James, but I don't know. I think James is in a lot of trouble next week.
Everybody's always in trouble at these 5-5s, just because if it splits wrong for you, you're in trouble. Like,
yeah.
Cassidy could end up where it's Noelle, Cody, Carla, and Jesse. She can't go home. Or she's the only one who can go home in that situation. There's three people with idols, and Noelle's going to play her ex or steal a vote. Yeah. Bye-bye, Cassidy. Like, it could happen. But I think that one of the three will go home in one of the tribals, and I do think, though, that one of the seven is going in the other. And I think that this week was a lot of setup for what that was going to be. I know a lot of people were complaining last week that there wasn't enough strategizing talk, and we don't know why Sammy did this, and we don't know why that. And I said in the predictions, Alexa, I really hope this episode starts with we find out about the idol and we find out how Sammy got in, but it's not going to happen. And that's exactly how the episode started. Exactly. I was like, oh my God.
Hi, producers.
Thanks. Hi. Thank you for listening to me and re-editing the show between Monday night and today or whatever it was. But I think that this was setting up for Sammy's not comfortable in his place. Cassidy's not comfortable in her place. That's two. Honestly, that's all you need. Because the other five, with all the advantages and things like that, it doesn't matter. You just need two. And I think this was setting a lot of that up. And realistically, if Sammy wanted it bad enough, he had Cassidy and Ryan was going home tonight.
Yeah, exactly. So it seems like one of those things that just wasn't, like you said, they didn't want it enough. But I think it felt nice to know that they could do it. Mm-hmm. I think also this episode had a lot of strategy, and I feel like they overly compensated for not really knowing what was going on last week. I feel like we were bashed over the head, like, okay, there's a seven and they're not happy. But they also got in some, like, I don't know if I should say this. So someone was smoking something, passed it around, and then everyone started talking about food. That was unbelievable. And then we also had a lot of like tribe flag painting content, which mm-hmm. is shocking. And if that was Cassidy drawing that tree, that was a really nice tree.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, does Cassidy look like an artist? Does she look like an artistic kind of girl to you?
It seems like she likes a good tree.
Yeah, she's a little bit. But when I'm watching this season, first I want to say, Alexa, could you handle a pepperoni pizza wrapped around a burrito?
Not without augmentation, I don't think.
After everything that I went through over the last 4 months, Alexa, I literally felt myself going in to get something else done. Like, I was like, come on, buddy. Are you kidding me right now? So
I wouldn't even can think of that.
No, that is everything that the doctors told me don't do. And Ryan's over there like, look, and I'm jacked. It doesn't matter. But what I'm finding very interesting about these last couple episodes and this season as a whole, season 41 had a very distinct drop the four. It's a one. That's our theming. Season 42 felt like, okay, 41 didn't really work, so we're going to get away from that, but we've already filmed it. There's only so much we can do. 43 feels like the producers and the editors and Jeff trying to figure out what does the audience actually want to watch? Because these last four episodes have felt like different eras of Survivor every single time. Yeah. And that has to be purposeful because they can't be making them so opposite from each other accidentally. This was so different. They, like you said, the flag, the fishing, the people giving up food for whatever and then having an endurance challenge. This has to be being done on purpose because there was no strategizing last week. We got plenty of that this week, and last week was all challenge. I feel like they're trying to figure something out. And that's good. I respect it. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I appreciate the trying, even if it's feeling disjointed. I am liking it. It also seems like this is a pretty like chill cast, and they do seem to like each other. And I think that's kind of helping the trust because, I mean, I'd watch an hour of Carla talking about her weird Jeff dreams, and I'd watch an hour of Cody saying, no, Ryan, that's like a really ridiculous, inappropriate way to eat a burrito. What's crazy, my mind went to, if you're wrapping a burrito in pizza, do you wrap it so that the like cheese and sauce touches the burrito or it's the crust to the burrito? I don't know which I preferred, but I didn't like either option.
I mean, either way, yeah. Beans and pepperoni and like, they shouldn't be eaten at the same time. Like, that's just disgusting. It's
abusive.
It's gross. But yeah, that's where like, I don't know if we're just old now or what, but I've been perusing the internet a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit this season. And I've seen that, you know, we talked about it. This isn't a very popular season. I don't know if that's just the boot order. A lot of women went early. And I know that that's not really like what social media wants right now, but I'm enjoying how hard every single one of these people are playing. And I'm enjoying that when they're on the bottom, they are doing everything they can to work their way up. Mm-hmm. The boot order might not be what you're looking for or what you want, but very rarely does a good season of Survivor or a great season of Survivor have the boot order like perfectly down. I would say China might be like the only one where it really worked out. Like almost always you're going to get some heartbreaking moments and whatever, but then you're going to get some awesome moments. Like I always look at it with Vanuatu, one of our favorite seasons, like the Survivor specialist season. That was six women and one man, and the one man went through and said bad things the entire time and won the game, but it's a great season of Survivor. Mm-hmm. And Cassidy, Carla, or Noelle could easily be the person who ends up pulling that off. And what I love so much about this season is I love those three women. Those three women are playing so hard and so good. But I also love the seven men that are on the other side too, because they're playing so hard and so good. This is a very, people have been saying it all along, but this is a very Gabon feel to it. And that's why it's polarizing. And I don't understand the people who hate Gabon, but this has that feel, but in the positive light. Gabon was a bunch of people hating the hell out of each other. This is a bunch of people who really like each other and respect each other, but they are playing that same kind of chaotic, how do I make it so that I am the kingpin? And then ultimately it ends with one of the most nonsensical winners of all time.
Yeah, it's really fun. And like you said, I think it's good because no one's really laying down and dying. And like even Ryan, like I really like him. I want him to do well and I want him to figure it out. And even if he doesn't, he's a good like leveler to have on this season. Because yeah, everyone's like making fun of him for it, but I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. Like I'd watch those reef shots all day. Like it's still entertaining to me.
They're making fun of him now because of what era of Survivor it is. When Ozzy and Richard Hatch were doing it, that's all anybody talked about. They should have won the game because of that. Like, that's it. That Ozzy should have beaten Yule because of that. You know what I mean? And now we make fun of the person. But I just think that Ryan is so over his head on this show. Somebody had put in here, he's too pure for Survivor. He really is. Like, I feel like Ryan is just too innocent of a guy to be playing this kind of game. But I love that we're getting to see the actual like camp life stuff. And I love that we're getting to see the reactions to it. Because back when Rupert did it and then they voted his ass out, Sandra turned around and dumped all the fish out. If Ryan gets voted out, they're going to turn around and eat the fish and celebrate that Ryan went home. I love how much Survivor has changed. I think that's great. But keep showing it to us, because this is the type I want to see, the well-roundedness of Survivor. And I think we're seeing a lot more of it on this season. And the producers are doing a really good job with it. I know that the popular opinion at this point is 42, then 41, then 43. If this keeps going the way it's going, I think this is easily the best one out of the three new seasons. And I think that this is a massive step in the right direction from an editing perspective, from a casting perspective, and just from a what do the fans find important perspective.
Yeah, this I'm really liking this season too. And I think it's just really hard to judge a season based on one episode. So I'm not going to, other than in 41, I'm not going to write anything off this season. The knowledge of power coming back, don't get me wrong, I feel very strongly about that.
So but awful.
What I appreciate they did in 42, and they are, I think, doing pretty well in 43, is I cannot figure out who's going to win. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really good. I had no clue that Marianne was going to win. And
Erica. But Erica's was a bad edit.
Erica's, I'm not happy about for her. This one, I feel like six people could win, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've been saying it all along. The only one who cannot win is Ryan. Everybody else on this season could win. Ryan cannot win. And if Ryan does win, this is a more ridiculous season than Gabon. I just don't see Ryan winning, but anybody else I could see winning. Why couldn't Cassidy sit there and convince a jury to vote for her? Why couldn't she? She is playing the game that she came out there to play. Now, can you defend it if you get the final three? I think everybody on this season could win. We have villains. We have heroes. We have very complex characters. That is better for the show. I want complex characters. I want everybody to be able to be a villain and everybody to be able to be a hero. And for as much as I defend him, because I just think it's funny, I love that people hate Gabler and that people love Gabler and that people love Carla. And there's definitely people out there who hate Carla. They just might not be as vocal about it. But I love that you can get that from each of these players.
Totally.
And it's all based on just what is your preference of gameplay and what's your preference of personality. That's what Survivor should be.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause there's a huge variety of personalities on this episode, on this season. And even though they're all generally nice to each other, it's really different. So huge shout out for those producers who are definitely listening. And what should we tell them that we want next episode? Because we're really picking it all here.
Well, so I want to give my quick shout out here because we talked a lot about with casting and things like that. I know with 39, that was trying to be a step in the right direction. And then obviously with Dan Spilo on it, that was a step in the wrong direction. And then 41, they were really pushing to have a more diverse cast and everything like that. I think with season 43, they have found a sweet spot where I feel like this was the most purposefully cast season in a long time, where everybody was put on the show because they could actually win the game of Survivor. Mm-hmm. We didn't see that in 41 and 42. And I feel like this season, they've done a great job with casting, just in general. Everybody wants to be there. And even the pre-merge boots, Lindsay might have been the biggest fan of Survivor on this season, and she's gone. Yeah. And we keep seeing the Jeff CBS.com/casting, and we've done that a million times. But I feel like they're pushing that right now because they are seeing the popularity of the players on this season. Even if the season isn't necessarily popular, they're seeing the popularity of the players, and they're trying to win off of that. And I would say that if I was 18, 19, 20 years old right now, there's a lot of people I could see myself wanting to play the game on this season. And that wasn't necessarily the case for 41 or even 42, because 42 was more of I can't be Jonathan, but I enjoy watching Jonathan participate in challenges. Yeah. So all of that being said, I just want to say shout out to the casting. I think they've done a great job with this season, which is not something that can be said for every season of Survivor. This one is really nailing it, and good job to the editors who are making sure that we get to know each and every one of these people. I don't know what I wanted to see if I can find the confessional count for this episode, but I have to.
While you do that, I'm going to read through the really wild props for those of you who are in a prop end game. So Janine was the 11th voted out for those who had her on their boot list. Carla hit her third sit out tonight. Janine cried a physical tear. She still counts as getting an immunity idol, but also so did Jesse. So Jesse has an idol now. What else do we have here? We are Noelle and James have Noelle, James, and Cassidy have two sit outs. So maybe next week, depending on the situation, they'll probably hit three. Janine did not have a confessional in every episode. I guess there aren't as many as I thought there were.
And then immunity won by Owen, obviously. Yes.
And Owen had his mouth blurred if he didn't already.
And how, yeah, I saw that one. I think Cassidy also had her mouth blurred.
Probably. I think. She's already done. Everyone has swore as had their mouth blurred except for Janine, Ryan, and Sammy.
And I'm going to say this, Ryan is not going to have his mouth blurred. And I think Sammy probably is one of those guys who talks a big game, but doesn't curse. Good for him for having the self-discipline to not curse.
Yeah.
So here's the confessional count for this episode. It was Sammy with 7, Jesse with 4, Owen with 4, Gabler with 4, Cody with 3. Man, that's crazy. I feel like Janine had more than 4. Is this right? This can't be right. That's a prediction. That was stupid. Okay, I'm looking. This is what I get. Reddit didn't have it up, so I have to go to Sucks. And if anybody ever goes to Survivor Sucks, you know what that is. So Sammy with 6, Janine and Cody both with 5, Carla and Cassidy. Is this even the real one? Here we go. Sammy 6, Ryan 5, Janine 4, Cody and Owen 3, Cassidy, Gabler, James, Jesse, Carla 2, and Noelle 1. That's what it is.
That sounds more right.
That's right.
Well, here's everybody.
So many people, I don't know why people put their predictions. I don't like that part. I want the real thing, not the predictions.
Also, if you're predicting the amount of confessionals people are going to get, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's a place to be, right? That's a certain level.
That's something to do, for sure. So next week is going to be an interesting week. I assume we're going to have 2 tribal councils of 5, and Phil and I are trying to give ourselves a little bit of resurgence. So throughout the rest of the season, we are going to try to have a guest on for every predictions between now and the end of the season. We have a few people we've reached out to. We have a few people who we want to reach out to. But luckily, someone took a chance on old Phil and Alexa. And Zach from Survivor is going to be joining us. Zach Wurtenberger, who I've actually never said his name before or his last name before, who Robert was found hanging out with at the RHAP DC event last week. Maybe Robert DM'd him when he was drunk and that got us in with him. Maybe he didn't. Who knows? But we definitely do. So he's going to be joining us on Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. We're really excited to have a guest on for a really weird and confusing predictions. So very excited to have Zach join us.
Yes, and we have Zach joining, and we already have our guest for the following week picked out, right? It's already set up.
We sure do. No. Yeah. So yes.
Yeah, the 20th, 21st, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, we won't say who it is, but it's a good one. It's a good one.
It is a good one. It's a fun one because this person hasn't been super around. So
yeah, very excited about those. So we're trying to make that a little bit more exciting now that we're getting down to the end. And I hope people are enjoying 43. It doesn't seem like it seems like we are getting the viewership. And Alexa, I know you and I are enjoying it. And at the end of the day, if you and I are enjoying it, do I really give a shit if anybody else is enjoying it? Not really.
We're getting some patrons and we're getting some views, so it's exactly working.
But exactly. So yes, become patrons. Patreon.com/survivorspecialist. $20 patrons, you get my after show, which I tend to do the day after. I will do it tomorrow, as long as this hurricane that I am experiencing right now in Florida does not knock out all of my power and everything like that. So we'll hope for that. So that's for $20 patrons. Also, McKenna and friends have been killing it with challenge and amazing race episodes and all of that. So McKenna's been great. So that's been for patrons, $10 and $20. And Alexa and I, we're enjoying it. We're bringing back other real live human beings to speak with us. And if that's not something to get excited about, I don't know what is.
I don't know what is. You're going to have to see 3 people fight for airtime instead of just 2. And look at it. We almost made it at an hour, which is pretty unbelievable for a recap. That hasn't happened in many moons.
I do think, though, next week, because I don't know what Zach's personality speaking is going to be like. But if we could maybe like you and me still hog the airtime, but he can throw up a killer tweet every now and then just on his screen. Because his tweets are pretty damn good. He's been killing it on Twitter. So that's
cool. Yeah, hopefully he's as funny in person as he is on the internet, which is probably unlikely because for most people it's not. But I hope for him it is.
Come on, Zach. Don't let us down now. We're hyping you up, man. The funniest podcast in Survivor Specialist history coming to you live, even though there was a podcast 2 episodes ago where I was talking about Noelle being surrounded by diarrhea. So I don't know if it gets any funnier than that, but come on, Zach.
I thought we were free.
Never forget.
Up and then simultaneously brought him back down. So anyways, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Yes, 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll see you all then. And thank you all for listening. And I'll see you all tomorrow with the after show who are $20 patrons. And if you're not, become one because you're missing out. Also, last thing, 10,000 subscribers. Good job. I'm just going to keep yelling that. Woohoo.
Oh, we did that. Oh, God. Yes. I also have something sad. Yes, that's very exciting. We're really happy about it. And I just saw on the Survivor Reddit, I believe Roger Sexton of Survivor Amazon passed away. And I didn't read the obituary, but it sounds like he had dementia in his final years, which is pretty shitty. So really sad to lose another Survivor alumni and probably really difficult for his family.
Also very tough. I haven't looked, but he couldn't have been that old either. So that's really sad how that happened because that was only 20 seasons. That was only 15, 16 years ago. Wasn't that crazy? So sad. So thoughts and prayers with them. And we hit 10,000. Alexa went from the high to the low.
I know, God. Anyway,
back to Zach and diarrhea. Okay. I'll see you. We'll see everybody on Monday.
Okay. Bye everyone.